Well, welcome everyone. This is Dr. Hedberg, and welcome to the podcast. Today we're going to be talking about the ketogenic diet, and ketosis is one of my favorite methods for a number of conditions, and of course weight loss, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But I wanted to go over the basics of the ketogenic diet today, why you would use it, how you get into ketosis, and some of the different methods of ketosis that are out there. And we'll clear up some of the confusion out there about any potential dangers of the ketogenic diet. So I first had experience with the ketogenic diet in the mid to late 90s when I was bodybuilding. And we would drop into ketosis, usually just for about 3 or 4 days, and then we might cycle it for 2 or 3 weeks, and it worked extremely well to preserve muscle mass while we were losing weight. Because that's one of the problems with a lot of diets is that you don't just lose water and fat, but you also lose muscle mass. And the ketogenic diet is extremely effective in sparing muscle mass as you lose weight. So we would use it to trim off that extra little bit of body fat, get that percentage down really low, so we could really see the musculature. So ketosis, let's talk about what that is. So basically, your body can run on glucose from carbohydrates, or your body can make glucose from amino acids, from the protein that you eat, or your body can make energy from ketones. And this is an evolutionary adaptive mechanism that we have. And that mechanism was designed when food was scarce or there wasn't enough to eat. And basically, it was a very efficient way to make energy from your fat stores. So if there wasn't a lot of food around, the metabolism would switch from a glucose metabolism to a fat-burning metabolism, which is ketosis. And because of the amount of energy you can make from fat compared to glucose and protein, it was a very excellent adaptation for survival. So you could survive for very long periods of time just producing energy from the fat that you had stored. And so you weren't dependent on carbohydrates or daily consumption of foods that had carbohydrates for energy. So basically, your body will make energy from ketones, and there are a few different types of ketones that your body makes. We won't really get into that, deep level of biochemistry. But basically, a ketone is able to produce ATP in the cell, so you can make energy from it. Now, let's not confuse ketosis with a serious condition, which is known as diabetic ketoacidosis. This really only occurs in type 1 diabetics. It's definitely a life-threatening situation. And sometimes when people tell their doctors that they're in ketosis, sometimes the doctor kind of freaks out because they look at that as possibly diabetic ketoacidosis, which is completely different from ketosis. The two are not even really related. So that's only a concern if you were a type 1 diabetic and you weren't taking your medication. So I just wanted to clear that up first. And ketosis originally was invented to treat epilepsy many, many years ago, highly effective for epileptics. But we found it to be very, very beneficial for a number of other conditions. So I'm just going to go through these. So the ketogenic diet, it can be helpful in type 2 diabetes, polycystic ovarian syndrome, acne, insomnia, fatigue, difficulty losing weight, no matter what you do, whether you're dieting, you're exercising, and you can't lose weight, headaches, insulin resistance, metabolic syndrome, Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, neuropathy. The ketogenic diet, it can lower cholesterol levels and triglycerides. It is also beneficial for obesity, and it's become more and more popular lately for the treatment of cancer. So cancer cells, they have an inability to burn ketones. Cancer cells can really only burn glucose. And so the hypothesis is that the ketogenic diet starves the cancer cells so they can no longer produce energy. And that's based on a lot of the work from Dr. Thomas Seyfried, who wrote the book Cancer as a Metabolic Disease, which you can get on Amazon. And he goes through all the science and the research and the ketogenic diet as an effective tool in treating cancer. The ketogenic diet also improves your fasting glucose levels and your hemoglobin A1C. Both of those are good markers of insulin resistance. It also can be effective for autism, multiple sclerosis, brain trauma, and Lou Gehrig's disease, which is also known as ALS. So a lot of really amazing potential there with the ketogenic diet. I also use it in my practice quite a bit in certain autoimmune diseases that are extremely difficult cases. We've had excellent results with lupus and rheumatoid arthritis, Graves' disease, polymyalgia, polymyositis, because the ketogenic diet is inherently anti-inflammatory, and autoimmune diseases are the result of a lot of inflammation. And so the ketogenic diet really helps to reduce that inflammation, and so it can be highly effective for a number of different autoimmune conditions. That's sort of been one of my breakthrough approaches for some patients with autoimmune disease that really really gets them to the next level in their healing process. So let's talk about how to get into ketosis. Like I said earlier, it is an adaptive mechanism. So if there wasn't food available, the patient or the person is basically fasting when there's no food available. So just not eating any food, fasting for 24 to 48 hours, you will convert into ketosis. And then the other way is to continue eating, but all you have to do is keep your carbohydrate intake less than 50 grams a day. And after about 3 or 4 days, you will shift into a ketogenic state. And the way that you know you're in ketosis, there's a very simple way to do this. You can buy ketone strips at the drugstore, or you can buy them online, like on Amazon. And you just urinate on the ketone strip first thing in the morning. And this will tell you if you're in ketosis or not based on a change in the color to the ketone strip. Now, a lot of people wonder, is it better to register higher or lower on ketones on these urine strips? And it really doesn't matter. Even if you're registering at a very low level of ketones on these urine strips, you're still in ketosis. The most accurate way is to purchase a blood ketone meter. A lot of these meters, they'll check glucose levels and ketones. And that's going to give you the most accurate picture of exactly how many ketones are in the blood. However, very, very, very few people actually use these ketone meters because the urine strips are fine just to figure out if you're in ketosis or not. And sometimes in certain states, if the insulin resistance is extremely severe, or if the patient is eating too much protein, that can also keep you out of ketosis. So protein is broken down into amino acids, and amino acids can actually be converted to glucose in the liver. And so if you're eating too much protein, then that can, in some cases, potentially knock you out of ketosis because blood glucose levels are just getting a little bit too high from the conversion of protein into glucose. So that's one important thing to note. The ketogenic diet is not necessarily high in protein. It's not low either. A moderate amount of protein tends to work the best for a lot of people. However, some people will just do better consuming a higher percentage of protein than others. And that's just really an individual thing. So that's how do you know if you're in ketosis. And like I said, those urine strips are readily available and very easy to use, and you can track your progress that way. Now, some of you may be thinking maybe the ketogenic diet is just the Atkins diet. And actually, the initial phase of the Atkins diet is ketosis. And that's why it's so effective for weight loss. However, the Atkins diet has been really misunderstood. People tended to eat too much saturated fat on that, the butter, the eggs, the sausages, the bacon, the cheese, and things like that. And one of the things to understand is that too much saturated fat can make you more insulin resistant. And so when you are shifting into ketosis, I found it much better to keep saturated fat at a more moderate level, and we get much better results that way. So what we do is we do about one-third from omega-3 fatty acids, like from fish and flax seeds and things like that. And then we'll do one-third from monounsaturated fats, which are mainly we'll use olive oil. And then one-third of your fat intake from saturated fat. And that's going to come pretty easily. Just eating a little bit of animal products, some butter, some ghee, some coconut oil, and things like that that have saturated fat. But we do get much better results if we're kind of emphasizing the omega-3s and the monounsaturated fatty acids. So it's not just the Atkins diet, although, like I said, that is initially a ketogenic diet. But the problem with that was not the Atkins diet itself. It was just the people following it didn't really transition out of ketosis, and they just didn't stay with it. Because the fact of the matter is that, you know, most people just aren't going to stay with a diet, no matter what it is, long term, especially if it's restrictive. So let's talk a little bit about why ketosis works so well. The first thing it does is it decreases your appetite. So you really won't want a snack. Your blood sugar just stays so stable that you just won't really have any major swings in your blood sugar, so you won't really have any sugar or carbohydrate cravings. Your energy will stay pretty stable while you're in it. Now, there are some individuals who have a difficult time in ketosis initially. Their blood sugar levels are kind of unstable, and a lot of that can be due to medications that they're on, like thyroid hormone or testosterone replacement. Or they just have severe insulin resistance, or their appetite is so low that they're actually just not eating enough. And so they may not actually be eating enough protein and fat while they're in ketosis. You will get increased fat burning, so you should notice a drop in your body fat, especially around the midsection, the hips, the thighs, the butt. Now, another thing to note is that your brain can become highly insulin resistant, meaning that it has a difficult time burning glucose for energy. So if you have things like brain fog, difficulty concentrating, short-term, long-term memory issues, your mood might not be as good, just feeling kind of sluggish brain, the brain might actually wake up when you're in ketosis because it's so used to trying to burn glucose, and it can't because you're insulin resistant, and now it's got all these ketones to burn for energy. And so sometimes the brain just, like I said, just kind of wakes up and everything kind of evens out. So the mood improves, the memory improves, you just feel a lot more stable, a better sense of overall well-being. And that's, like I mentioned earlier, you know, Alzheimer's and dementia are some of the conditions that it can work so well for. And that's because the brain can burn ketones very, very efficiently. So the other thing is that caloric intake sometimes drops a little bit lower than it should on the ketogenic diet. And that goes back to what I was saying earlier about how the ketogenic diet can really suppress the appetite. So that's another thing to keep in mind. So we use an app called Lose It. That's a free app for Android and iPhone, or you can just use the website. And loseit.com allows you to track all of your calories, all of your food. And it tells you exactly how many protein, carbohydrates, and fat calories you're eating. And that allows you to make sure that you are eating enough calories while you're in ketosis. Now, the other thing that I mentioned earlier about why the ketogenic diet can be so beneficial is because it's inherently anti-inflammatory. And I talked about that regarding autoimmunity. So ketosis, like I said, it sort of mimics fasting. And one of the things we know about fasting is that fasting significantly reduces inflammation. And so most of our chronic illnesses have an inflammatory component. And so going into ketosis is going to significantly reduce inflammation everywhere, the brain, the gut, the joints, the muscles, the organs, you know, pretty much everywhere. So you might see additional benefits while you're in ketosis. So as far as what you should eat, I mentioned earlier about the fat, but basically you're eating high-quality protein sources with some fat, so all types of meat, fish, eggs, and then a variety of oils, mainly olive oil, and then macadamia nut oil, avocado oil, coconut oil, butter, ghee. All of these work really well. And then you can eat plenty of salad vegetables, non-starchy vegetables, small amounts of cheese, especially the hard cheeses, and then also things like Parmesan, feta, some of the cultured cheeses like blue cheese. So your plate is mainly going to have a high-quality protein source and vegetables. And then with the salad, you know, use an olive oil-based dressing. And regarding the amount of fat you eat, you just don't really have to worry about that so much. So if you want to use, you know, some extra dressing on your salads, go ahead, because it's not going to hurt you. The more fat, the better. Your fat intake is going to be somewhere around 60 to 65% of your caloric intake. Your protein is going to be around 30%. And then carbohydrate intake will be very, very low, you know, 5% or less. And so that's kind of the overall ratios of protein, carbs, and fats that you're going to eat when you're in ketosis. And so you can cook your vegetables in fat or oil. That's not going to hurt you because you are burning fat for energy. So consuming it really helps you do that. And then, like I mentioned earlier, too much protein, not enough fat may actually keep you out of ketosis, or you might not get the results that you're really looking for. Most drinks are fine, like green tea, black tea, coffee is going to be completely fine. And some people like to use some of these different mixtures of coffees where they add coconut oil, butter, ghee, or they might add MCT oil to their coffee in the morning, and that's completely fine. Red wine is okay in ketosis, distilled spirits, but only in small amounts, one glass at the most, because too much alcohol can raise your blood sugar, and alcohol does contribute to insulin resistance, which is usually what we're trying to fight in this case, but the occasional glass of red wine or distilled spirit is going to be okay. Dark chocolate, 85% cacao or higher in small amounts. Again, just check the carbohydrate content. And usually for my patients, we don't allow nuts or berries, although that is okay. But again, you just have to be very careful with your carbohydrate intake. So you can eat those, but just be sure that you're not eating a lot and that they're not contributing too many carbohydrates. And so you're really avoiding foods that are high in carbohydrates, like grains, beans, lentils, most fruits. Again, be careful with nuts and seeds. And then you're going to avoid potatoes, rice, corn, pretty much anything that just has, you know, a fairly high amount of carbohydrates. Because with your protein source and your vegetables, your salad vegetables and your non-starchy vegetables, it can be easy to get over that 50-gram mark if you start experimenting with some of these other foods. You can have types of dairy other than the cheese that I mentioned. You can have cottage cheese, sour cream, cream cheese. Be very careful with any plain yogurts or plain kefirs. Again, be very careful with the carbohydrate content. But most of those are going to be okay and in moderation. And so that's kind of the overall picture of what foods you are eating in the ketogenic diet. So it is, I guess it's fairly restrictive, but a lot of people like it. There is a lot of variety there within the foods that you can eat. It's just mainly the carbohydrates, carbohydrate type foods that you can eat. And then there are a variety of different ketogenic desserts out there, like keto mousse and stuff like that. And there's recipes, you know, all over the internet. If you just search ketogenic recipes, you can find all kinds of things to add a lot more variety to your diet. One of the types of ketogenic diets that I like is called the Spanish Ketogenic Mediterranean Diet. And I have a link to this on the website if you want to read more about it. That one is highly effective. Again, mainly emphasizing olive oil, fish, and vegetables. I've gotten great results with that. And supplements, mainly the ketogenic diet, we just use a really good quality multiple vitamin, potassium bicarbonate, and magnesium. And then we might do some fish oil as well. But a lot of times that's not needed if you are eating a lot of fish. And one of the fish I forgot to mention that I really like for ketosis is sardines. And I like the Wild Planet sardines packed in olive oil. That's an excellent ketogenic meal or protein source. Sardines are packed with a lot of nutrition, selenium, omega-3 fatty acids, and a lot of other vitamins and minerals. So sardines are great. MCT oil, like I mentioned earlier, putting in your coffee. Some people also put it in their tea. MCTs are medium chain triglycerides. They're pretty high in coconut. And the great thing about MCTs is that it's impossible for them to be stored as fat. So the only thing an MCT can do is it can be burned for energy. So a lot of people notice an increase in their body temperature. They notice increased fat burning, more energy, better brain function. So MCT oil is great. Be careful with it because it can cause diarrhea or loose stools, and that's with the oil. But you can also purchase capsules of powdered MCTs, and those tend to be a lot better if you're having difficulty with bowel tolerance of MCT oil. And then the ketogenic diet, sometimes it can be a little bit constipating. So we'll use this fiber supplement, or we'll have the patient do 1 to 2 tablespoons of ground flax seeds for some extra fiber and healthy omega-3s. That can work really well if there's some constipation and to add some bulk to the diet. So how long should you do it? I want to be very clear that you shouldn't try the ketogenic diet unless you are under doctor's supervision. There are a lot of contraindications to it, like kidney disease and type 1 diabetes, like I mentioned before, certain medications and things like that. So you really want to discuss this with your doctor before you try ketosis. But a lot of times we'll just do it for 1 week as kind of a diagnostic tool to see how the patient responds. And sometimes we'll just have a big, big breakthrough in their symptoms and what they're feeling. And then we'll stick with it longer. Sometimes we'll go as long as a month, sometimes upwards of 6 weeks. But usually we don't use it longer than 4 to 6 weeks. There are cases where we will, depending on the patient. And then some people will cycle it. They'll do ketosis for 1 week, sometimes 3 weeks. And then they will do a Mediterranean diet for a few months, and then they'll shift back into ketosis for a week or two and things like that. So they'll kind of cycle it back and forth. But again, that's going to really be an individual thing. And some people over time do tend to start to feel a little sluggish if they're in ketosis for too long, and they just need carbohydrates to stimulate their metabolism. So when you're in ketosis for a long time, your thyroid numbers will change, and it'll sort of look like you may be hypothyroid or subclinical hypothyroid. And eating a large amount of carbohydrates one day a week will crank those thyroid numbers up. And a lot of people will notice an increase in their body temperature, their energy. They'll get a lot better results with their weight loss if they do a large carbohydrate intake one day a week, and then the other 6 days they're eating a ketogenic diet. And that's sort of what we call a ketogenic cycling diet, where you're in ketosis and then you do carbohydrate surges like that once a week. And so sometimes that's another way to do this a little bit more long term and still get the benefits. So like I said earlier, you know, all diets have a beginning and an end. So it's definitely something that you want to discuss with your doctor. Make sure it's the right one for you. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a long-term thing that you'll do. Sometimes you only need to do it for a week or a month or something like that to really get your metabolism back in balance, get the inflammation down, get the insulin resistance turned around and things like that. But some people just feel great in it, so they stay in it a lot longer. A couple other things to note. I'm going to post some links on the ketogenic diet benefits blog post at drhedberg.com. That's drhedberg.com. And it's ketogenic diet benefits. And then I'm also going to post this. If you go to drhedberg.com/podcasts, I'll have the link to this blog post. And I'm going to have all the links here to the resources that I recommend. And I'm going to have Dr. D'Agostino's link to his site. He's a PhD at the University of South Florida, who's done a lot of research on ketosis and cancer. So I'm going to link to his site. And then Ketogenic Diet Resource is another great resource for ketosis. Lots of recipes, lots of information, lots of books, cookbooks, and things specific to ketosis for specific conditions. So those are going to be some great resources for you if you want to look into a little bit more. And then there are a lot of books out there. Dr. Volek's book, V-O-L-E-K, is really probably the best one out there. But you should be able to get a lot of what you need from the resources that I'm going to post, as well as the information on my blog and this podcast. But that's if you want to do a lot deeper and further reading into ketosis. So that's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed this podcast on the ketogenic diet. Again, always discuss this with your doctor before trying it. It is an extremely powerful and effective tool for a number of conditions that I mentioned. So could potentially be something to definitely look into for you or someone you know. All right, well, take care, everyone, and I'll talk to you next time.